This morning, please join me in the red hymnal as we sing the doxology number 549. Is hymn number 651. Do not fret over those who do evil. Do not worry because they do wrong. For like grass they shall suddenly wither. Like the greenness of grass they shall fade. Trust in the Lord and do good. Enjoy the earth in security. Take delight in the Lord. He will give you what your heart desires. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him, for he is active. He will make justice come like the dawn, like noonday light, your justification. The Lord has help for the righteous in troubled times. He is their refuge. The Lord gives them help. He delivers them from the wicked. He saves them, for they trust him. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 485. Take my life and let it be, number 485. Gracious God, we thank you for this time that we have together in worship. And Lord, we just ask that as we come here to honor you, we just want to rejoice in this time. Because, Lord, we think of our relationship with you. We think about how personal it is. And as we pray to you right now, God, you know of the requests that we have in our lives. And, Lord, we just lift them up to you. We humbly ask, Lord, that your Spirit in our lives would make that understanding of the deep needs that we have, that many times words can not even make sense, or even as we utter them and we try to with our feelings, only it is through the Spirit of God that you truly understand what we are asking for. And God, we would ask that you would hear those prayers through the presence of your Spirit in our lives. And Lord, we think of family members and of friends. We think of patients throughout this medical center, the staff that is working today, the families that will be visiting. Lord, we lift them all up to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would intervene in the same way with the presence of your Spirit in their lives, that you would hear their prayers and that you would hear their intentions as they try to do the best in the circumstances that they are in. And so, God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 480, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Number 480. Scripture reading this morning is coming from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, beginning with verse 7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for the time that we have had thus far, the hymns that we have sung, the prayers that we have offered, the scriptures that we have read. And Lord, it has touched the heart of our spirit. And God, I would ask that that continuing touch of our hearts would be in the presence of worship as you help me say those things that we all need to hear so that we can better understand our relationship with you and with each other. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I hope you've had a good week, and I know that you should be aware of here at the medical center, it's decorated that Halloween is coming upon us in the next few days. And of course, the title of my sermon this morning is, Are You Scared? Because obviously Halloween is a time in which we celebrate it to come out in costumes, and we try to go to haunted houses. If you've been to a haunted house before, you understand that the whole purpose there is to try to make you scared. And I asked the question as I was preparing the sermon this morning, like, what am I scared of? I asked the question of you this morning, what are you scared of? In actuality, even though we have personal things that we are afraid of, I know that Lynn does not like bugs, and she's scared of bugs, especially large cockroaches, you know the kind I'm talking about, the tree cockroaches that you find down in the south. She's scared of those types of bugs. I'm not scared of bugs, but I am scared of snakes and little slimy things that slither on the ground. I am scared of those things. In fact, when I was in the military, I always tried to establish my training, even if it was in the south or on the east coast, I always wanted to go during the wintertime because I didn't want to have to worry about those types of creatures when we were out in the field. So we all have different things that we are personally scared of. But the scriptures remind us this morning that as long as we are obedient to Jesus Christ, there's nothing for us to be scared of in terms of our present relationship with God or in terms of our future relationship with God. And if we think about that and put it in perspective, you and I both do things in which we try to stay away or we try to prevent and not be involved in those things that make us scared, that give us that fear that we don't like to have, that fear that is very unsettling, the fear in our lives that makes us insecure about our relationship with others and about our relationship with God. The scriptures have told us this morning that as long as we are obedient to Jesus Christ, we have nothing to be afraid of. Because he has taken all of our fears, he has taken all of those things that we are scared of, he has taken all of those things that we feel insecure about, and he took them to the cross. And because of his obedience, his sacrifice was perfect. So that means that you and I, through God's grace and through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, that we too are perfect in spirit. And therefore, we have nothing to be scared of. We have nothing to fear in terms of our present lives or in the lives that is to come. But many times, though, we are overwhelmed with our fears. And there seems to be a contradiction in our lives when we believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, that we should have no anxieties. We should have no insecurities. We should have no fears. The answer to that question is we shouldn't, because of the way that Christ has made us perfect because of his supreme sacrifice. But yet that part of us that we still hold on to, that part of the human nature that the scriptures refer to, that part of us that we know exists, is deeply troubled and is deeply scared at times. But yet God tells us that we are not a product of our fears, and we should not be scared. As long as we are in obedience to the things of Jesus Christ. Like to paraphrase a scripture that I was using earlier this week, and basically it comes down to, if you do not forgive others, God cannot forgive you. So when I thought about that verse, I looked in my own life and I said, you know what? I've had a lot of people that have wronged me. The Bible tells me that I am to forgive them. And if I don't forgive them, God will not forgive me. of my wrongs. I told Lynn that for me that should be a no-brainer because I have done more wrongs to other people than people have wronged me. So that's a good trade. That's a good swap. But yet there's something in that scripture that just reminded me that it is what we need to do in obedience to our relationship to Jesus Christ, and that is to forgive others. Because when we don't forgive others, not only does God not forgive us, but in the same way, we hold on to the things in the past when we don't forgive others, and it makes us scared. It gives us insecurities. It makes us afraid. But God says, no, there's no reason for you to be scared. There's no reason for you to be afraid. And so the way that which we overcome that is to embrace the whole idea of forgiveness. The forgiveness that God wants us to express in our own lives by forgiving the people that have wronged us. And when we are in that process, and once again, it's an everyday process, it doesn't happen in one epiphany moment when all of a sudden I can forgive everybody that has wronged me in the past, in the present, in the future. It doesn't happen that way for us. It is a process in which we have to do it on a daily basis. But then God reminds us, as we are doing that on a daily basis, He is forgiving us of our wrongs, of our mistakes, of our errors in judgment, of our stupidity. And in that way, we can see that within our own lives, we have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be scared about. Because then we see in obedience to God that we are trying to do our best in our own personal lives. And we can't do it on our own. That's where God's grace comes in and reminds us that He is there to help us to overcome these things, to overcome these anxieties that we have. Because He wants us to live a life that gives us that peace, that gives us that joy that is beyond the understanding and comprehension of what human nature thinks is happiness. Human nature thinks is joy. It's something that goes beyond that. Because it's when we are able to maintain our joy in God, even when we are struggling, even when our life does not reflect the perfection that we'd like for it to be or that we hope for it to be. Even though we have those struggles, God reminds us that He is always there with us. And we do have problems. We do have problems in terms of who we are as individuals. We have likes. We have dislikes. All of the circumstances about our lives, all the things that we have lived through, add to who we are. Many times we call those problems baggage. And you and I have different types of baggage that we carry with us through our lives. But God reminds us again and again that we do not have to carry that baggage with us. Because that baggage has been taken away because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. He tells us that if we turn those things over to Him that we have been holding on to, if we take that baggage that has been part of our lives and we surrender it to God, He takes that load from us. He takes that load from us emotionally. He takes that load from us spiritually. And we're able to walk in the freedom of the Spirit that God wants us to have. But yet many times we get caught in this cycle where we just seem to like to hold on to our problems. We seem to like to hold on to our pain because we know within that cycle how to control it. We know in that cycle of the problems that we hold on to, on the pain that we try to manage, we become familiar with it, but yet God tells us we do not have to live in that pain. We do not have to live with those problems. We do not have to live with those anxieties. And God wants us to see beyond the circumstances in which we find ourselves in. To see beyond the present moment and the problems that we see before us. If you are a person that likes to make lists, I would suggest to you that on the top of your list that you put these words, seeing beyond your problems today. And as you go through your checklist and as you deal with the different circumstances that you have to do, the things, the maintenance of life, as I like to call them, that we are all involved in, as we just need to take time to see beyond those things that we are doing, to experience the relationship that God wants us to have through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because then in that understanding, we truly do not need to be afraid. And then we see a way in which we can break that cycle that we have in our lives. The cycle that we have become so accustomed to that we don't have to live in that cycle. We can break out of that cycle. We can break out of the baggage that we've been holding on to. And we can follow Christ in true obedience and live free in Him the way that He wants us to live. And we need to see that as we look beyond our problems every day. We need to see the example of Christ and what He did. That even in the most difficult times that was in His life, He used that to help Him grow and to mature, to become the perfect sacrifice that God wanted Him to be. And in the same way, as we look to the example of Jesus Christ, many of the circumstances that we have found ourselves in, we have an opportunity to learn and to grow and to mature and to become stronger in our relationship with Christ. But the only way that we can do that, the only way that we can see beyond those circumstances is to look at the example of Jesus Christ and His obedience to what God had for Him in His life. And in the same way, we need to see beyond our problems and look to the obedience of the example within our lives in terms of carrying out God's will for each and every one of our individual lives. And when we see that, when we begin to understand that God is working in your life and that God is working in my life, we can grow beyond the problems. And we see what our focus needs to be. We see within our own lives maybe the different things that are hindering our growth in Jesus Christ. That's preventing us from maturing spiritually the way God wants us to mature. And many times when we are caught up within our own problems, we lack the interest to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We just say, well, it's something that I have to do on Sunday, or it's something I can watch on TV, or it's something that I can experience when I get little devotionals on my phone. But it's more than that. It's a continuation of your life every day. But many times our problems that come up in our lives, it takes away from our lack of interest in wanting to follow the things of God. And because we don't have the interest in the things of God, we see within our own lives that our lives don't seem to be progressing the way that we want them to be. Because we're allowing the problems that we have in our lives to overcome us instead of us overcoming those problems. And so we say that we are lacking progress, and therefore we are lacking purpose. And because we don't have the purpose that God wants us to have, we lack the determination to overcome and to persevere those things that are in our lives. But then something very important happens to us when we allow the problems in our lives to overcome us. As we find ourselves lacking commitment of the things that God has put in our lives. The lack of commitment to others. The lack of commitment in terms of what we have given our word or our dedication to doing. The lack of commitment in all the relationships that we have. Because when we allow the problems in our lives to overcome us, instead of looking at commitment in a positive way in which we want to be a solution to the problems in our lives, we just add to it because we say, I'm only here because I don't have any other choice. And we allow the constraints of our lives to be that commitment to us. God does not want constraints to be reflected of our commitment to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Commitment is something in which you and I need to be dedicated to. In the same way, if we think about the commitment in our own personal lives, we want someone who is committed to us, that is dedicated to us, that love us, that care for us, that want to be with us. We don't want somebody committed to us because of constraints. In the same way, as we look at our lives with God, God wants us to be committed because we are devoted to Him. And we reflect that devotion in terms of our obedience through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then we see that as our commitment changes to become one of devotion, that the problems that we have in our lives can be overcome, and our problems do not control us. We control the problems because we can see beyond those problems. We can see the example of Jesus Christ in our lives that helps us, that gives us the power, the strength, the insight, the vision to overcome the problems, the wisdom and the discernment that we need to have to make the right decisions. Because we see within that, that the presence of the Spirit in our lives is the one that really helps us to grow. It helps us mature. It helps us to reflect the commitment that God wants us to have. And as we are committed to that through devotion to God, through our devotion to Christ, we understand that as we grow in Him, that our faith becomes strengthened. Our patience begins to grow. Patience with ourselves first. Because we have to be patient with ourselves. And many times we become impatient with ourselves. And when we become impatient with ourselves, we just add to the problems that we already have in our lives. God wants us to have that spirit of patience. The patience that just says, you know what, I'm going to do the best I can in the circumstances in which I am in, and then I'm going to wait and watch God do the rest. That's patience. That's the patience that God wants us to have, because it reflects our true devotion to the commitment that we've made when we allowed Christ to come into our lives. And then we see through that patience that as it grows and as it matures, it reflects the life that God wants us to have in obedience. And then we see beyond our problems, and we handle those problems that we have in our lives one at a time with faith and with patience, believing that God will work things out the way that God wants to work those things out. But the willingness in our own lives to do our part, to do the right things that we should be doing, that are reflective of a Christ-like spirit, and allow God to work through all of those other circumstances that are outside our control. And then we see that there's no reason for us to be afraid. There's no reason for us to be scared. There's no reason to look at the problems and the circumstances that we have in our lives and to be overcome with them. On the contrary, we should be looking at our problems, the circumstances that we have, in a way in which we can grow in faith, in a way in which we can grow in patience, in a way that we can see beyond the problems and reflect the example that Christ wants us to be in obedience to Him. Because remember what Christ did for you and for me. He went to the cross. He was crucified. He died a terrible and horrible death. He was buried. He was put in the grave. But yet He rose again. And He appeared to His disciples and then many more people. And then He ascended with a promise for you and I that He will come back. Not only for the living, but for those that have died in Christ as well. And that gives us the assurance that we need to have, that there is no reason for us to be scared of the present or of the future. as long as we continue to be committed in a devotion to Christ that reflects the obedience in the same way that Christ was obedient to God the Father. And in doing so, we can celebrate each day of our lives with joy and with peace that passes all of our understanding. Amen. Please take a few moments as we prepare our hearts for communion, in which we share communion publicly. To anyone who comes and worships in our chapel that has trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful for the time that we've had together, this time of worship in which we can honor you, a time in which we are reflective of the commitment that we have, one of devotion, one that provides us and strengthens our faith, one that gives us the perseverance to see you working in our lives and the patience to understand. God, we thank you for this time of communion. We thank you for this time that we can just celebrate and honor you in terms of all the things that you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for your grace to each and every one of us. Amen. From the Lord, what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Please join me in our closing hymnal, number 504, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." 504. are so thankful that you have united our hearts this morning. And Lord, we just praise you that you have reminded us to see beyond our problems and to see you working in our lives. Help us, God, to have our confidence in that presence of Spirit. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. We begin our worship service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal number 549, the doxology. Hymn number 714. I may be able to speak the language of men and even of angels, but if I have not love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have the all knowledge and understanding all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burned, but if I have not love, it does me no good. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous nor conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up. Its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. There are inspired messages, but they are temporary. There are gifts of speaking, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. For our gifts of knowledge and of inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. But now that I am a man, I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is like the dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete. As complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 112, When We Walk with the Lord.
Joy he bestows are for those who will trust. trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Please be seated. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God, we come before You just as we are this morning. And God, You remind us that there is nothing too small that we cannot pray about, and there's nothing too big that we cannot pray about. And God, we are praying for the small things in our lives, for the big things in our lives. And God, we just lay them before You. Your word reminds us, God, that it is Your Son, Jesus Christ, that is there speaking for us on our behalf right now as we lift up our prayers. And God, we praise You for that. And as the Holy Spirit directs our lives, Lord, we are thinking of other people as well, friends and family members, other patients at this medical center, staff that is working here today, the family members that will be visiting. And Lord, I would just ask that in the same way that we pray for the small things and the big things, God, we lift them up to You in prayer as well, that they too would pray for the small things and the big things, and God, that You would hear their prayers just as You hear ours. Lord, we are thankful for this opportunity to come here and worship, and what a blessing it is to be here with those that have the same mind in the same heart. I just want to say thank You, God, for loving me just the way that I am. And we praise You for that. And God, we are so thankful that You taught us to pray by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 458.
Before me, help me walk from day to day.
Scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let us pray. God, we are so thankful, Lord, that you've accepted our gifts of worship thus far, the imperfections that we have. But Lord, you know that we love you. And God, we would just want to have a complete relationship every day with you. God, help me to say those things that we need to hear. In Christ's name, amen. You know, prayer is one of those things where we try to figure out the right type of formula to pray, do we not? We read books. We listen to people on the television when they try to pray or when they try to instruct us to pray, and there seems to be some type of formula about it. I don't know if there's a formula about it, but I know and I believe each and every one of us, which includes me, is trying to find the right way to pray, right? Because we pray different ways and we just don't seem to get the response or the actions or what we want, all those kind of things. And there's like, is there some way that we can pray in which God will hear us and perhaps answer our requests according to his will? So how do we pray? Jesus gave instructions to his disciples, and he gives those same instructions to us. When we come and meet for worship, we do the Lord's Prayer at the end of the time of praying that we have, because it is a reminder that Jesus did teach his disciples and us how to pray. But then there's further instructions that tells us not to be a hypocrite, not to be like those that pray in a public setting where they want to be acknowledged as something holy, something spiritual. The instructions that we're given is to go into a separate room somewhere and to pray in secret, that only you and God have that prayer time. And it says that God will reward us in some form or fashion. It doesn't say what that reward is going to be, but that God will honor the time that we have in prayer when it is just you and him praying to God the Father who is unseen. Sometimes we try to wrap our heads around that, We pray for ourselves and we pray for others, but we're actually praying to God which we do not see physically. But I would make the statement that as we pray to God, that we should see God spiritually. That the Holy Spirit should be manifested in our lives, in which when we do pray, we do believe that God is hearing our prayers. The prayers that we want to have answered. And Christ continues to give instructions about the fact is we are not to babble when we pray. In other words, using some type of magical formula about certain words, and if we pray a certain prayer and we use the certain words, that somehow God will answer this prayer. And there are things like that on social media and books that I've read where if you just say these words, that God will answer the prayer and he will answer what you're asking for in a very special way. I don't know about that, because I don't think there is a formula. And if there is any type of formula, is when we go before God just as we are, we praise God for the relationship that we have with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that we have faults. We acknowledge our imperfections. We acknowledge that we do wrong things every day, and we confess them before God. I do know that God will not help us if we are practicing something that is unrighteous. When we have some type of habit in our lives that is called sin, and we do it all the time, God cannot answer our prayers if we are living an unrighteous life. I don't know if that's part of a formula, but I think it's very clear that the Word of God tells us that. So if you're concerned that God may not be answering the prayers the way that you want them to, I would ask you, as I ask myself, God, am I doing something in my life that is unrighteous? Am I doing something in word, in deed, or in thought that is not honoring you? Am I doing something in word, in deed, in thought, in which I am only thinking about myself and my actions only relating to myself, that is creating an unrighteous situation in your life? I think about that all of the time when I pray to God. Lord, what have I done today that has not honored you, that has separated me from you, that has transformed me in such a way that you cannot hear my prayer and you will not answer my prayer because you cannot go where there is unrighteousness? That's why God reminds us through the scriptures that when we come before him, when we pray to him, that we are to make that communication clear by acknowledging the things that we have done in our life that is unrighteous, that is not virtuous. So if there is a formula, that's one of the elements of that formula, that God cannot hear our prayers if we are doing and practicing something unrighteous in our lives. Because God cannot be present where there is unrighteousness. God cannot be present with me or with you if there is unrighteousness taking place. The Spirit of God cannot be with me or you if we are violating things in our lives that we know are not right with God. So I guess that could be part of a formula, but I think it's pretty self-evident that God, who is holy, cannot be part of anything that is unholy. His holiness is in everything, except where there is unholiness, God cannot be present. So perhaps your prayers have not been answered because you have things going on in your life, things that I have going on in my life, that need to be cleared up first. The things that we do in secret. But the scriptures tell us that God sees what is done in secret. So, I have nothing to hide before God, and you have nothing to hide before God. So why do we struggle with coming clean before God? Why do we struggle with the fact that God knows everything anyway, so why don't we just admit it? Because of our pride? It's because somehow we feel that if we acknowledge that thing or things that we might be doing, that God will punish us? No, because God already knows. And if we're looking for answers in our life, if we're looking how to pray, the Lord gives us very specifics in terms of how we should do that. And we pray the Lord's Prayer all the time. And there's a step-by-step process through that. But I think first and foremost that we need to understand it as we go before the Lord in prayer, that we have to have an open heart and an open mind of faith. That we are to go before God in faith, believing, knowing and understanding that the presence of God cannot be in our lives if there is unrighteousness. So if you feel that God has isolated you, or if God has forsaken you and God has left you alone, I want to ask you the question, as I ask myself, is it because that there is something going on in your life that you need to confess before God? Maybe that's why you're feeling that God has forsaken you. The scriptures tell us that God never does forsake us. But if we have those feelings, if it seems to be that God has abandoned us, I just want to ask that question. Perhaps there is something going on in your life that you need to confess before God and make right. And that making right may be a process. It may be something that you have to work at every day. It might be something that you have to surrender to God every day. It might be something that you struggle with almost every moment in your life. But God tells us to lay those things before Him because He sees and He knows and He understands. And it is in that faith that we have with God, and the way that we get on the right path of faith is for us to live a life that honors God by showing and demonstrating how much we love God and how much we love others. If we are looking for some kind of divine inspiration in terms of how God wants us to be and how He wants us to conduct ourselves, the scriptures tell us that we are to have a listening heart within our lives. In fact, when God asked Solomon, what do you want to have in life? He didn't ask for a long life. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for power. He asked for a listening heart. A listening heart. Something that is always open before God. So when we live our life by faith, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do you have a listening heart for others? Do you have a listening heart for God? Because if you're making the attempt to do those things, then you are taking those steps on faith that you need to have, in faith believing. And you are living and practicing a life of love that God wants you to have on a daily basis. A life in which you live by faith. And when you go before the Lord in prayer, that God is there with you because you are working on your life and you are doing the best you can to have that righteous life. Because you want God to be with you. And yes, we have to confess the mistakes that we make, the thoughts that we have, the things that we say, the things that we do. And God wants us to come clean because He wants us to have that life of faith. He wants us to be able to show and exhibit that love. the love that goes beyond our own understanding, the love that can only come from us being one with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is then and only then that we begin to truly understand what faith is. Faith is something that we need to have. Faith is something that we need to be open to. And as we read the call to worship, and even though I read it in an imperfect manner, I think the words were very clear that we get to a point in our lives spiritually, and as we walk with God, we get to a place where we need to be in terms of who we are in our spiritual maturity, that we put away the simplistic things, as the example in the scriptures gave us this morning, of like a child. Because you and I are no longer children before God. We are men and women before God. And we need to put our childish ways away. And we need to go before God with courage, with endurance, with an attitude of sacrifice. Because that's what we do as adults, don't we? Don't we handle situations, at least we hope, I think we should, with courage and with endurance? Going before those things in which we have those challenges in which we face them. To be able to do that. And in the same way, the scriptures that we read in the call to worship reminds us that we need to face ourselves for who we truly are, because God already knows that. And there's nothing for me or you to hide about, to conceal before God, because God knows. And when we are in that place, when we have gone away and we are before God in secret, when it's just you and God and you're having that time of prayer, you are just talking to God the way that you would talk to a good friend. Because God is our friend. God is someone that is always there walking by our side like a good friend. And we share those things, the small things and the big things. We pray not only for ourselves, but we pray for others. And that we can see the presence of God in our life, because we know with God's help that we have been living a righteous life that does its best to honor God. It's not perfection here. I know the scriptures tell us that that should be our goal, and that should be our goal in perfection, but neither one of you or me is going to measure up to that goal of perfection. We are perfected with our relationship in Christ, but in terms of our own human standards that we have, we are going to make mistakes, we are going to fail, we are going to do things wrong. But the scriptures remind us that we are to recover quickly from those things. And the guidance that the scriptures give us when we do make mistakes is the scriptures tell us to get right with God as soon as we possibly can. Because God always wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to, for you to have that faith. He wants you to live a life that is expressed in the same love that He expressed to each and every one of us. And that love is seen on the cross. So what does the cross mean to you? If we had a time of prayer together, what would you pray about? What would you ask God about? What would we say? What is on your heart this morning? What is the challenge that perhaps you might be facing? What is the direction that you are seeking, that you're trying to find that answer to. And so when we go to God in prayer, those are the two things that we need to start off with. What should we talk to God about? What do you want to say to God? Our time with God one-on-one is a conversation type of prayer. And many times we just can't seem to find the words that express our true feeling and our true thoughts. But the Scriptures tell us that the Spirit of God is there with us to express those intentions before God. Things that words cannot explain. Have you tried it that way? Have you gone before God to say, God, I don't know what to pray about this morning. I'm really disappointed in myself. I'm disappointed in my family. I'm disappointed in my friends. I'm disappointed in the situation that I find myself in. And God, I don't know what to pray about. Help me, God, through your Spirit. Help me, God, to see the love that you have for me. Help me to put away my doubts and my fears. Help me to have trust in you. Help me to have confidence in you. Help me to have courage in you. Help me to have endurance in you. Because right now, God, I don't have any of those things. I don't feel them. I don't see them. I don't understand them. But yet, God, I just want to come before you just as I am. God, I want to ask you to help me to love people in my life that are just so difficult to love. Help me to love and appreciate the circumstances that I find myself in because, God, it is just so difficult in the circumstances that I'm in. But yet I know that you want me to show that love, the love that you have for me to others. And in that honesty, we find ourselves praying to God like we've never been able to pray before. Because we pray in the Spirit and in truth of what and who we are in Christ. And then we begin and understand that God does hear our prayers. And God gives us that understanding that we need to have, that even though our prayers are not answered the way that we specifically want them to be answered, we see that God's will for our lives is something far better than even what we are asking God for. And we're saying, wow, God, I wasn't expecting that. I was just expecting this. I set my sights pretty low, God, but all of a sudden you gave me something far greater that I didn't even think about praying about. And I just want to praise you for that. And we find ourselves in that situation, and we just can say how awesome God is, because he's working through situations that is beyond any of our understanding. He's working through people in our lives beyond any of our understanding. And we just say there, wow, God, thank you. I don't know what I said, God, but I want to just praise you and thank you for the answers that you're giving me. Even though I'm not specifically praying for that, God, you gave me something far better that I was even envisioning for myself. And we see the little things. And we see the big things answered according to his will and his purpose. And we find ourselves saying in spirit and in truth, I'm okay with that, God. Thank you very much for answering that prayer the way that you specifically did. Because now I can see if I truly got what I was asking for, it would have been more trouble for me than I could ever think. And I praise you that you did not answer my prayer that way, but you answered it a different way. And then we truly understand how to pray. And when we do the Lord's Prayer together collectively at our time of worship, it just has much more meaning to us because we know that God is in our lives, that God is here in each and every one of our lives, that God is here in our time of worship. And He does hear our prayers. He does respond to us in a very sweet, loving, and caring way. Because God wants us to pray. And that's how He wants us to pray, in all openness, in all truth, in all righteousness. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion. And we in the chapel here, we practice open communion. And so what that means, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you believe that, you are welcome to have communion with us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that we can say, Abba Father, to You. And Lord, You know everything about us. There's nothing from You that we cannot hide. Forgive us, God, when we've made mistakes. And God, we do that every day. Forgive us when we have done things that are unrighteous. Because with God, we know that You can never be in a place in our lives where unrighteousness is taking place. And Lord, we want to make it right with You. We want to be in a righteous place spiritually with You, God, so You will hear our prayers. God, give us the understanding that we need to have in that righteous place to see Your will working in our lives beyond our understanding. And God, we just praise You for this time. Thank You, God, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to demonstrate Your love for us. Accept this time of communion as an act of worship and a request from each and every one of us to forgive us of our sins and our desire to be one with You. Amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Let us partake together. closing hymn is number 442, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am reading, yielded and still. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in Thy presence, humbly I bow. Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. God, we are so thankful for this time of worship that we've had. And Lord, I would ask that you would help each and every one of us to live that righteous life that you want us to live. And when we fail, when we fall down, when we make mistakes, God, that you remind us in the presence of your Spirit that we should come back to you quickly and to confess those things, because you always want us to be living in a righteous way. Help us, God. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me in. Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul.